folk. So today I thought I'd get back to basics and do a sort of stripped down monologue kind of video. Because they're video essays, it's quite a slog, and you think, oh, what's next? And you put it all together. And I wanted to just touch on something which I think is going to be an emerging trend as we go forward. Something that I see more and more as the situation gets worse. Now, I'm not going to get into all of that again here, because I know that I've been really banging the drum on why things are going the way they are, and I've done it now, and I think we need to move on from it a bit. And the other day I was looking, I stumbled across a video on Odyssey by a woman. I think she's in her late 20s, but she's really lovely, she's really smart, and she calls herself Little Apostate. She's just got a little channel. And she was saying that she's gone down the rabbit hole, as they're calling it now, looking at things, let's just say the agenda of the elites and what's happening in the West right now. Again, I've said enough on that for the time being. And she's finding her way, and there's this new trend that people are saying of going down the rabbit hole. You see people like it popping up all over the place these days. But all right, so she's did this video, a few videos, where she's trying to get to grips with what all of this means. And I think it's one of those things when you see somebody who is a good person, a genuine good person, and like on our side, not a psychotic shitlip, but we'll get onto them in a bit. And what I see more and more is that when the good people, well-meaning people with good hearts and good spirits, they see the decay of Western civilization. They see the sheer scale of the lies and the deceit and the bullying and the censorship and everything which is going on. And it's as if they, I think they struggle with it, because if we think of it just as being this, you know, you hear these terms, and this is kind of what I want to get into. Like it is just evil. Now, the problem, what so many well-meaning people, where they find themselves, is that we've been saturated in liberalism for such a long time that when good people, and I'm, by the way, I'm not sort of looking down on them, I'm in the same situation as well, I think we all are. And the problem comes of when we are confronted with lies and deceit and cruelty on such a scale that we can barely even comprehend it, that the tools which is handed to us by sort of liberalism, they just don't cut it anymore. It's like you're standing facing a machine gun with a little bamboo stick. It just doesn't seem to work. And I see more and more this trend of people who are coming from a sort of more classic liberal sort of mindset. So the Little Apostates, I get the impression she watches like Brett Weinstein and Jordan Peterson and these kinds of people. So then you go in and you say, okay, I've got the truth and I've got reason, I've got the arguments, I've got the facts, I've got the data. And like this is a general thing for people on the good side, let's say. And they present it, and they realize that it doesn't matter. Because the opposition just doesn't care. It doesn't care if you're right. It doesn't care if you have the sort of truth on your side. And when you get into a sort of late stage civilizational decay, this leaves you in a bad situation, because all of a sudden, what you've taken for granted no longer seems to cut it. It can't get the job done anymore, because the other side, it isn't interested in reason. It isn't interested in facts. It isn't interested in logic. And it can only really be described as evil. And this is where we get into something interesting, because people will call it, like, people will use terms like evil, but there's not really any frame of reference of that, because evil shouldn't exist in the world. It should be people acting because they are maybe psychotic, and that opens the way so that you've got this kind of psychological So you're relying on science there, the science of figuring out how people's minds work. So you'll put it down to some kind, in the end, it'll just end up being like a medical condition. And then you can say that people are being corrupted, people are being paid off. And what ends up happening is that you're bringing these ways of understanding the world, which it's really quite exhausting. And I think this is part of the problem as well, because you're trying to use reason and logic to understand these things when like it, and it because it's such a huge issue, it's which in the end you're dealing with what seems to be the impending collapse of a civilization. Or it's at least it's descent into something quite horrible. And so people are bringing to the table these tools. I'm reminded of like what Hannibal Lecter said to Clarice Starling when he said like do you and she's got like a psychological report, and he says, do you really think that you can just dissect me with these blunt little tools? And unfortunately, those blunt little tools are what the people who mean well in the world have at hand, and it just doesn't quite cut it. And when I look back on the last year, and so this leads them to feel kind of frustrated and blackpilled. I think this is why so many people feel this like a sense of impending doom, this their depression, this the black pill is just cast around all of the time, and it's like, well, how do we get out of this? Can we get a positive vision on the go here? What the hell do we do? And I think this has certainly been on my mind as well, even like in a subconscious way, because you know I've done like videos and spoken about something like Warhammer, which is obviously like this pulp kind of trashy science fiction product. But without even realizing it, what I think got me really hooked on that Horus Heresy stuff, knowing full well, you know, it was light-hearted stuff, but what really got me hooked on it was what is the gist of it is that the Emperor sends out the legions to conquer the galaxy based on science and reason, and they think they've got it all. They think they've got the truth. They think they've got this imperial truth. There is no such thing as the supernatural. There is no demons. There are aliens, but they can be exterminated. They've got all of the science and that's all they need. That's the truth of the matter, and all that hocus pocus can be gotten rid of. And of course, that's not the case. And when the truth of the world is really of the universe is really presents itself to them. Which is that basically hell and objective evil does exist, then all of a sudden they're caught out because they've realized that the tools they were relying on just weren't enough. They were themselves based on lies. And so that's when all hell breaks loose, of course. So you can see that theme again, the theme of you're going in to what amounts to a spiritual battle. Not even knowing that it's a spiritual battle because you don't even have the thinking or the language to like sort of frame and model your thought as you go into it. And so you go again, you're going in like woefully underprepared. And this is sort of, I think, why so many good people are feeling so down and despondent right now. And the even the way that you sort of frame these things and try to understand it is through a certain scientific, rational mode, which just isn't enough. I'll give you an example of what and something else that I've noticed is that if you look at Twitter, like I've come to regard Twitter as just being this kind of cauldron of evil. Again, like it seems hokey to use that language. But if when you look at Twitter, like it's just like a daily grind, and I'm just this is all of the mainstream media. This is the system. It's a tentacle of the system. And when you look at Twitter and the trending subject, it's like this daily grind of somebody. So the other day it was Neil Oliver trending because he said something about lockdowns, or then it was Jeremy Corbyn, and today or yesterday I don't even check it anymore. Like each day it'll be a daily grind of the shit libs finding that there's somebody who stepped out of line, and then they all pile on. And when you kind of scroll through that, they all look exactly the same. They all they're all saying the exact same things, and they are all purging the heretics. They are all trying to get rid of the thought criminals, pile on and get rid of them, destroy them. And the thing is, at an individual level, they will all think they have got agency. They will all think that their tweets are really witty and clever. But from behind the scenes, if you are like one of the bug men who runs the engineering, the tech engineering behind Twitter, behind the scenes it would look quite different. Behind the scenes it would look more like piranhas in like the Amazon who get the sniff of some blood or something like that, and they all just go mindlessly after it. Or another one would be like wasps kind of being attracted to some spilled Coca-Cola in a park on a sunny day. They just mindlessly going after what's been put in there for them. And I do think that it is a rigged game. I do think that the algorithms, I do think it's coming down to psychological manipulation of all of these people without them knowing it. And that all of the technology and all of the brains behind the scene, they're deploying incentives, the little dopamine hits from getting retweets, applied psychology. Nudges, all of these different sciences and all of these different things, as well as the technology itself and how the technology functions, how the algorithms work, all of this. And so when you approach this through like the sort of modern mind, this is why so much of right-wing thinking is kind of exposing something. So you can then go on and on and on into how all of that is put together in a mechanical way. How the science of psychological manipulation works, and how you end up with like millions and millions of people who think they are free, and really clever, when in actual fact they're just like automatons. They've just become machines which regurgitate the talking points of the system while at the same time feeling free. And if you look at all of that and how it's accomplished, it leads you again to try and understand it through this scientific lens. But what you're doing there is explaining how it functions and not actually what it is. So you aren't actually putting a value judgment on it. So to somebody in the past, you go back hundreds of years, obviously they wouldn't know anything about all this technology. But what is actually happening there is a form of mass psychosis which is being induced by people higher up the food chain, by people with their hands on the power structure and all of this. So what I'm saying is what you're really dealing with is what you could describe as sorcery. So when you say that, of course, I know that it's like an old hokey kind of cringe term. But what I like about that is that what's implied is a value judgment straight away, because obviously, the sorcerer is—he's invested in the dark arts. It's negative. He's working on the side of evil. So all of a sudden, when you begin to see it in those terms, you actually find that you've got something more substantial on your side, because you're not in this analytical mindset of explaining the mechanics of how this all works. You're actually applying a value judgment to it, and you were saying it's sorcery and it's turning all of you shit libs into just machines. So all then you've actually made a big step. And of course, this is the exact kind of language that we are so lacking. And this is why one of the reasons why there's this trend on the right where they'll call people hypocrites. You'll call everybody hypocrites, and it's become a bit of a running joke because we realise now the other side doesn't care, because they don't care about your standards. They don't care, like, by what standard are they a hypocrite and this kind of thing. But I think it also it's because what's implicit in it is that you think the other side are reasonable. You think the other side are gonna have a kind of that they're going to respect the honesty of it. They're going to look at the facts and think, well, okay, I realize that I've got a double standard, and that needs to be rectified. You've caught me out there. And of course, they just don't care. They've learned to live with that long ago. And so calling people hypocrites doesn't matter because they don't care about your truth. They've got their own truth. I've been reading C.S. Lewis's Abolition of Man recently, and what Lewis gets into, who is very much very Christian, traditionalist, and what he's pushing back against in that is the sort of demystifying of the world. There's two teachers in it, and he changes their names. The book was written in 1943, and these teachers ask a boy to explain the nature of a waterfall, and the boy says the waterfall is beautiful, it's a thing of wonder. And the teachers push back and say, well, this is just what you're doing is telling us how you personally feel about the waterfall, not what it is. It's wrong to say it. It's wrong to actually put a value on the waterfall itself. What you're doing is just telling us how you feel about it. And of course, Lewis thinks this is the road to destruction, because then you've got to the point where you can't actually put an objective value on the world around you, and especially because eventually that's going to lead back to God. And so what you'll notice about the kind of the good people in the world today who are trying to stay sane is that they've actually come to this fight with the tools of the teachers. But the problem is, that's how we got here in the first place. We got to this point because of that kind of reductionist objective standing. So this is when you see people trying to present the facts and the data, to trying to be reasonable about it, and it doesn't work. So what they should really be doing, in my view, is going down the side of putting a value on the world, which is much more religious. And this is why I think that there's going to be a return to religion, because I just don't see anything about the normal standard liberalistic mindset which can survive in a civilization which is going to go through what we are facing now. And so when I see, like, and this is obviously, again, this has been on my mind a lot, like, what is it that you're bringing to the fight? How is it, what is it that you've got to deal with this without a return to some different way of thinking entirely? Ontologically is a posh word which describes this, I think. So how do you, what are you actually going to be bringing to this? And good people find that they don't have the tools. They don't have the tools for the job. In the same as some, you know, silly, even in some silly science fiction book, you can find these themes. You can find these themes all over the place, where because the forces that you're up against, again, you can break it down, you can bring your data sets and your proof and all of this, your science reports, but it doesn't matter because the system doesn't care. But also, it's quite possible that what's motivating the elites and the shit libs, it's got nothing to do with reason. It is, and you can only in the end describe it as evil. So we end up coming to this place where this kind of thinking was born mainly out of the Enlightenment, but for hundreds of years after that, like, Christianity was still doing a lot of the heavy lifting in Western civilization, and we find that only until very recently, when it's kind of petered out almost altogether, then things really go to hell in a handbasket. So it isn't even so much as thinking in pre-Enlightenment terms, because most of the morality, most of this kind of thinking would have still been around in the 1950s. It's not like it's kind of this radical sort of return to some far dark age or anything like that. Up until recently, what would have been considered common sense. So the reason why I think there's so much value in some of these traditionalist thinkers is not that it's kind of like, you know, going back in time, return to tradition, all of this kind of thing. It's actually that there's so much substance to it, because it's telling you how you can put value back on the world, and how it's the good people can get out of this bind of turning up to a machine gun fight with a little wooden stick. And if you can apply a positive value, then you can apply a negative value, and that's enough. The waterfall is beautiful, and because there's beauty in the world. And we'll get onto the religious side in a second, but by that same standard, you can also apply And that's enough. It just is so. But you can also then apply the negative to my example here would be shitlib Twitter. And you can say it is just ugly and it's sick. I don't understand how all of the algorithms work. I don't understand all of the psychological manipulation. But I can see what it is in and of itself and give it a negative value because it deserves it. And it is utterly repulsive. By the same standard, can the boy explain why the waterfall is beautiful? Probably not. It just is. So all of a sudden, we see that we can turn up to, we can turn up with a different value set almost completely. And I think this is something that so many people are going to start and understand and fall back on. Because it was all very well, you know, in the decades gone by. It was all very well in the when we were comfortable in the 80s and 90s. And this kind of toxic sickness, which was eaten in at the way, it was there then too, of course. It was quite advanced. But it gets to the point where it just overwhelms everything, you know. You good people now, I mean, just normal. That's why, like, you know, I'm not saying that the girl in that video was like really based or anything. It's about just having good people with well-meaning hearts. That's what it comes down to in the end. It doesn't matter that they understand all of the most controversial red pills and all of this kind of thing. I think there's another layer to it where we can just say, well, and I'm ascribing directly a value there. I'm saying, yeah, this person is a good person. And this is, you know, we can begin to bring these things back. And it begins to get you through the darkness. It begins to be a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. Now, the thing is, when you begin to talk about, because it is spirituality, it is a different way of thinking entirely. And I think one of the things that gets in the way of this, and it's certainly gotten my way, I mean, I'm still don't class myself as religion. But again, something like what Lewis is saying here, he's taking you back in little baby steps to at least begin to let you see how you can think in different ways. So you don't have to get into all the, well, the Protestants did this and the Catholics did this and this is universal and, well, I'm going to be a pagan because it's more authentic and all of this rubbish, all of these arguments that just go on and on and on. It's all pointless. What that is that, again, it's deploying the mentality of the debunkers. It's deploying the mindset that got us into this problem in the first place. There's no point in engaging in all of that squabbling if you're still standing from a purely atheistic point of view. What somebody like Lewis is doing, or others like Joseph de Maistre are doing, is trying to explain how you can make these steps back towards a world and a way of thinking which makes sense. And I think as things get worse and worse, this will become a new trend. You already see it, of course. You already see more and more people kind of, you know, becoming Catholic or whatever it happens to be. But I think that has to be at the end of the road. In the meantime, it's kind of retraining ourselves and refinding the beauty in the world and getting away from the debunker, as Lewis called it, mentality, where you feel like everything has to be broken down and explained. You know, where you can see standing on a watching the sun come up in the morning across a freshly harvested field and this kind of thing as the mist comes up. These kinds of things are actually spiritual. But we've been trained to such a degree to kind of break that down and think, okay, well, why? The endless question, why? Is it not just your senses giving dopamine hits to your brain and all of this kind of thing? Instead of enjoying what it is for what it is. I mean, since I started watching Odyssey more than YouTube, I sometimes you get exposed to other things. And so I started watching the odd video from Lauren Chen, who's kind of like the last of the SJW bashing skeptics. I mean, the skeptic community is a case in point because that's exactly what they were doing. They were bringing reason and sort of the classic liberal arguments to the fight. And, you know, they've exhausted themselves and the whole movement sort of cracked and fell apart. And you've got, like, brave little Lauren left. And she's a good person. She's a really nice person. But again, you see that she's just, like, kind of trying to bring common sense in her videos. And the things she's talking about, like, it'll be just, like, insanity. It's just outright insanity. And you think, like, what happens when the data and the science and your empirical arguments just don't work because the other side are monsters? I mean, I've never really signed up to the idea that they're the sort of SJW shitlibs, that they are themselves going through some kind of religious transformation. I know it's a point people like to make. If anything, it's almost like an anti-religion. It's a religion of might makes right, because they'll just go along with whatever the power structure wants because they like to punch down. It's a complete inversion of whatever they claim are their values. Because when it comes down to it, like the system will have designate this or that thought crime, or, you know, this, you have to do this, you have to think like this. And then they are in the business of enforcing that on behalf of the system. And so it isn't so much that they love the ideology of it, they just love the power. And so if you're going up against that with like a little book of statistics, they're just going to throw it back in your face. And it amazes me that people, it gets on my nerves to see people who are good people, just being exhausted by it and worn down by it and thinking, how they don't care. How do you get through? And I think you have to have a value system of your own, which isn't based within liberalism. You're going to have a value system of your own, which is kind of absolute. So then you can start using language like evil and sadistic. And you can say that Twitter is it's sorcery, and the people on it are complete machines regurgitating talking points from elsewhere, and so that you can cut through all of the kind of the mechanics of all of this, and sort of bypass all the scientific reason and all of this, and you begin to formulate your own holistic and absolute. And it's there, you know, like I say, the someone like Lewis is kind of taking you on these little baby steps and saying this is what's went wrong, which was the debunkers, which again is what the sort of centrist types, moderate right wingers, even into the sort of the nationalist scene, you're relying still on what sort of have it putting race at the center of it all. It seems to me that it doesn't really matter, whatever it is, that there's a God-shaped hole in that the decent people of the West are looking for. It all from the madness of the mainstream, all the way out, there's this sort of scattered sort of horde of people who are confused and broken and exhausted by it all. And I think you have to begin with a new value system entirely, and it's there, and it's religious. But once again, I think we have to get over this idea of, well, are you going to be a Catholic, are you going to be a Protestant or a pagan or whatever, you know, and that, because I think that's a hurdle, and I think that's why people can't even begin to think in those terms, is because that's right there in front of them, and that's the thinking that got us into this mess in the first place. So this is just some initial thoughts on all of this, rambling video. So I hope it's some food for thought. Let me know in the comments, as they say. See you later, folks.